Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to St. James. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. It also represents the end of our ordinary time. We're so happy that you've all chosen to be here with us today in one form or another, many of you via Zoom, many of you here in the church. We invite all of our participants, both here and at home, to participate with mind, heart, body, spirit. So if you see a gesture from Father John, or if you know the gestures, go ahead and model those gestures for yourselves, and we can all be in unity like that. Obviously, if you're at home, we encourage you to sing, and if you're here in the church, feel free to hum with full hum.
And clap.
And clap, of course. You'll hear some tambourine today, and we really encourage you to jump on board with that. So we will open today with Lift High the Cross. So 1 and 4, right?
Is that
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with your spirit.
This feast of Christ the King is a relatively new one in the church's calendar. It was added by Pope Pius XI in 1925 after World War I because he wanted all Catholics to remember that no matter those forces that are out there, all those political things pulling us apart, that there's one thing that pulls us together, and that is our faith in Christ, that he's really in charge, no matter what people might think otherwise. And so that's a good reminder in our divided age to remember that we have this unifying force in our faith in Christ that can help us to find a way. So let's turn to the Lord today and be attentive to this word of God, which speaks to us of God's power in our life, as we ask for a blessing, the blessing of grace, the blessing of mercy. I confess
to Almighty God,
and to you, my brothers and sisters,
that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy, forgive our sin, bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray that God's reign in our hearts will inspire us with courage. Let us pray that Jesus, who is our King, will show us the way. And let us pray that that Holy Spirit of God will give us the gifts of wisdom and fortitude. Almighty ever-living God, your will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe. Grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty's service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep, as a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep. So will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. The lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. As for you, my sheep, says the Lord God, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead come also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life. But each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come.
The Lord be with you. A reading from Holy Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes down in his glory and his angels with him, he will sit with them among his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you gave me clothes. Ill, you cared for me. In prison, you visited me.' Then the righteous will say to him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, and thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' The king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you do to the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, you did not give me welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they would say to him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for the least of my little ones, you did not do for me.' For those will be going off eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father Murphy was walking down the street and he came by the pub on Good Friday, and there was a lot of noise coming out of the pub. He went inside and was shocked to see it filled with his parishioners. So he immediately marched them over to church and started to harangue them about the true meaning of their faith. And he ends very dramatically and he says, "Anyone here who wants to go to heaven, stand up now." Well, everyone stood up, except O'Toole. O'Toole stayed seated very stubbornly in his seat, and so Father Murphy kind of lost it, and he ran down in front, and he got in his face, and he said, "O'Toole," he says, "don't you want to go to heaven when you die?" "Oh, sure, Father. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I thought you were lining up a group to go now." We are
going someplace. We are aiming to get to heaven. It might not seem like it on this treadmill, which is the pandemic, where one day pretty much blends into the next, but there is an end in view. And at that end, as we hear in the parable of the sheep and the goats, there's a judgment going to be made. God is going to decide who are the sheep and who are the goats. And we know that because there is a judgment, that everything does not go, that you do your thing and I do my thing is not going to be the yardstick, that there is right and wrong. Whether you like being judged or not, justice will prevail. St. Matthew situates this parable at the very end of Jesus' ministry. It's almost like his last will and testament. It's that moment, you know, when you are leaving the office and you have your hand on the doorknob and you say one final thing. And you know, that's what really matters. Pay attention, this will be on the test. The test. The final exam. The question at the end. In one sense, as Jesus tells this parable, it's somewhat surprising, because you would imagine, at least for church-going people, that there'd be a different question being raised. How come it's not a question about faith? Did you believe in the right things? The last question, the final exam, is not about the commandments. Could you keep all 10, or did you fudge on a few? The final exam is not even about our practice. Did you go to church? Did you say your prayers? None of those things that religious people talk about are part of the final exam. And so we've got to realize that all of those things that we ordinarily worry about are just study aids, focus groups, crib sheets, cliff notes to help us prepare for the final exam. Maybe it isn't surprising then, the question on the final exam, because it goes back, it reflects the great commandment Jesus left us to love God and love our neighbor. But the question is not, do you love God? Because it's real easy to say, oh, sure, yeah, love God. We're close personal friends, you know, do Facebook together. That's a cheap answer. And as St. John tells us in his first epistle, anybody who says they love God and hate their neighbor is a liar. How can you love the God that you cannot see when you do not love the brother or sister that you do see, St. John says. So the question, the last question, the final exam, is somehow or other reflecting this ultimate commandment to love God and love our neighbor. We are going to show our love of God in the concrete way we love our neighbor. So that is the final exam. How have you shown compassion for your neighbor? That's the question. That's the final exam. And if you know the question for the final exam, you better start cramming for it right now, right? What is surprising about that final exam question, to me anyway, what was surprising to me was that those who got it right didn't even know that they got it right. You know, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? So they did the right thing, but their motives, their intentions, their reasons don't seem to have mattered all that much. What mattered was what they did, their actions. A few years ago, okay, it was 50 years ago, when I was in college, Mother Teresa came and talked at the Catholic University of America, my alma mater, and Mother Teresa said this, she said, "When I see any human being, I see the face of Christ. So if there is a hungry person there, I see Christ is hungry and I have to feed him. When there is a sick person there, I see Christ is sick and I have to tend to him. I do everything out of my love of Christ." And I was very impressed when I heard that, and I said, boy, wouldn't that be great if I could do that, if I could see the face of Christ in everyone. I'm still working at it. But apparently, at least the way Jesus tells the parable, that's not necessary. What's necessary is that you see someone in need and you realize they have a claim on you because of that. What's necessary is caring. Not staying on your side of the road, but crossing when you see someone in need. There's a principle in Catholic giving, and those who worry about charity, that it's really not effective to talk about your need. You know, well, I have this need, you have the money, give me the money and fulfill my need. What that does, that creates a system of winners and losers. You know, it's like a zero-sum game. You know, I have more than you have less. What really is effective, if you can help the donor to understand what they get out of it. You know, because of you, there's a family that won't be hungry today. Because of your generosity, someone will have a coat and they'll be warm. Because of your involvement, there will be health care available in our community. The real culture of giving works when both the benefactor and the one in need get something out of it. When they realize that it's a win-win situation. And I think ultimately that's what lies behind this final question. So when the king says to the sheep, did you care for your neighbor? The sheep will say, when I saw someone in pain, it pained me. And so I did a little thing. It wasn't much, I don't believe, but I did something that I could do to make them a little better. That's the right answer to the final exam. That's what makes you welcome into the kingdom of heaven. That's how you pass the test. Amen. We join together then in confessing our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. The Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under the Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We are invited before the throne of grace, so with confidence then we turn to the Lord and present our prayers and petitions.
For the church, that we may hasten our work to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and comfort the neglected, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That world leaders may be inspired by Jesus' call to care for the least ones among us and develop policies and laws that show compassion to those in need, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the most vulnerable, those living on the peripheries of society, the forgotten, the overlooked, the abandoned, that they may find comfort and dignity, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are seeking the Lord in today's complicated world, that they may see the face of Christ reflected in the goodness and mercy of those who serve others in need, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us celebrating Thanksgiving this week, in thanksgiving to God for all the blessings we have received this past year, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Mercy Hospital, that in the face of closure, our neighborhood will continue to have access to excellent health care, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of St. James, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers that we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in our book of prayers, and for all the needs of our parish and community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Hear all our prayers, Heavenly Father. We make them in the holy name of Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice in our hands. for the praise, the glory of God's name, for our good, the good of all the holy church. As we offer you, Lord, the sacrifice by which the human race is reconciled to you, we humbly pray that your Son himself may bestow on all nations the gifts of unity and peace through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Eternal God. For you anointed your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, with the oil of gladness as eternal priest and king of all creation, so that by offering himself on the altar of your cross as a spotless sacrifice to bring us peace, he might accomplish the mysteries of the human redemption. And making all created things subject to his rule, he might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. So with angels and archangels, thrones and dominions, with all the host and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving you thanks, he blessed and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this food and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we might be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring us to the fullness of charity together with Pope Francis, Cardinal Blaise, and all your holy people. Remember our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection. All who have died in your mercy, welcome them into the light of your face. And have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, her husband Saint Joseph, the blessed Apostle Saint James, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son Jesus, who gives us every good gift. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of Jesus be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a wave of peace.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, of the world. Have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life. The prayer of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart.
I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Just a reminder, follow the directions of the ushers coming to communion so we can keep social distance. And after you've received, take a step to my left, your right, remove your mask and consume the host, and then follow the arrows back to your seat.
To share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. To share
bread for every hunger,
you have plenty to share.
The bread of joy and gladness,
you have plenty to share.
The bread of grace and mercy,
you have plenty to share.
You have plenty of bread to share.
Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share.
Bread for those who sorrow.
You have plenty to share.
And bread of life and laughter.
You have plenty to share.
Bread of strength and justice.
You have plenty to share. You have plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share.
Bread for every sister.
You have plenty to share.
Bread for every brother.
You have plenty to share.
The bread of freedom's journey.
You have plenty to share.
You have plenty of bread to share.
Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share.
Bread of hope and kindness.
You have plenty to share.
The bread of your compassion.
You have plenty to share.
And bread of love and welcome.
You have plenty to share.
You have plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share.
Fish for those who hunger.
You have plenty to share.
And joy for all who sorrow.
You have plenty to share.
The faith of unbelievers.
You have plenty to share.
You have plenty of bread to share.
Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share.
Wine of our remembrance.
You have plenty to share.
And wine of dreams and visions.
You have plenty to share.
The wine of celebration. celebration.
You have plenty to share. You have plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. You have plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. Plenty of bread to share. Plenty of bread at the feast of life. There is plenty of bread to share. There is plenty of bread to share. There is plenty of bread to
let us pray. May this sacrament of charity, O Lord, make us fervent with the fire of holy love, so that, drawn always to your Son, we may learn to see him in our neighbor, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We're having a little Advent-y sort of Bible class starting tomorrow. If you'd like to participate, you go to Sign Up Genius and register there, and we'll send you a link and a little study aid to follow along. It'll be for the next 4 Mondays. Second thing is, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. We're just going to do basically a virtual Mass. I'm going to say Mass at the Tolton Chapel. We can have 10 who would like to come. If you want to be one of those 10, please sign up so that we can have the count for how many will actually be the in-person. There will be a link to the Thanksgiving Mass available as well for virtual attendance.
As you have been able to witness over these last several months since July, we've been so grateful to have people who have been willing to become part of the reopening team, they're called, and we're so grateful for their service. But we don't want to burden them. If you are interested and available to be part of the reopening team, if you can get in touch with me, and we'll make sure that you have the necessary training, and then we can not have anybody have to do things too often. We also had, as you can tell, a new DJ today. We're so glad we have somebody helping Amy to run Mission Control, and so we're so grateful to Cheryl for that. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
God's blessing upon us all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A couple of birthdays today. We have a birthday for Virginia Pietzu, and we also have a birthday for young Roman over here. So let's try to put them together. Here we go. Virginia. It's a big one for Virginia.
80.